In the last 4 weeks, 5 weeks, it has become clear to me. I am losing my mind. I have to do my work if I'm able in the morning, because my mind is fresh. But at night, like now, it's just extremely difficult. Now, I promise you, I have finally got this thing figured out. It's not my imagination. But in order for you to understand it, where I am and why I'm there, I'm going to have to go through a lot of things. And it's not complicated. But bear with me on this, because I do know what I'm doing. And I'm not hedging with you. And so there were lots of things that I couldn't quite get straight. That's why 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, all of a sudden I just stopped. And I said, I'm not going to put things out on this. I stopped where it said, thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder, and I stopped there. And I was over in, I'm really having to think what I'm saying before I say it, more than I ever have in my life. And I had just come down to where the God put the preview of the rapture. No, I'm sorry. He put the preview of the entire tribulation period. So I looked at that, and then I looked at what followed it. Then I looked at where it said there was silence in heaven for the space of half an hour. I now understand that. It's very difficult for me to transfer what I know and my understanding. I also understand the seven thunders. I understand them. And I have a very good understanding of what's happening now and where it's going. But I'm going to get through this, and I promise you, I'm not hedging with you. I'm not trying to act like I know what I'm talking about. But I do. So bear with me. And by the time I finish this, not this one, but it's going to take several appearances for me to do this. I want Chuck to keep preaching on Sunday mornings. I'll preach the next Sunday morning. And I'm going to do the same thing like I'm doing now every Wednesday night until I get to the point where you look at it and you say, now I understand. Because you don't know what I'm going through. I don't want your sympathy. I want your prayers. I want your understanding. This has been a long journey for me. And all I want, never mind, I just bear with me as I go through these things, because this is very difficult for me. I'd appreciate it if you would. Now, the period of tribulation chaos, as I have said on many occasions, was not the tribulation period. I'm talking about what we're going through, what has just passed through here, and Irma and all that. I'm talking about that. And these are things that I didn't quite understand, how that silence for half an hour was going to occur. And I had all the ingredients, and I prayed about it and prayed about it and prayed about it, because I've always been scared to death I'd teach something that wasn't true. You say, well, why? Because whatever God says, I don't want to change it. So that's why I'm hesitant. That's why I've been very, very cautious and very, very careful. I didn't know if God wanted me to tell you. And so when I came to that other part, I thought, before I do this, I'm going to wait and see if what I think is going to happen is going to happen. Well, it started happening about 4 or 5 weeks ago. So when I say the period of the tribulation chaos, as I have said on many occasions, was not the real tribulation period. That's what has been happening for about the past maybe 3 weeks down with Irma and an old girlfriend, with Irma and with Jose, Hurricane. All that stuff, I came to realize why God didn't want me to go any further than I had with it about 2 years ago. And so I just, I thought, well, how can I put this out with my mind in the condition it's in? I mean, it's pathetic. If it wasn't for Terry, I couldn't do this. Now, why? I want you to understand this, because this is very, very important. I was trained to do this. I was trained to use the Feuerstoff method of constant absolute vortistry trajectories. I wrote an article. They asked me to do it from the Bulletin of the American Meteorological Society. They put it in Congress. And I was asked to do it because between two omega blocks, two highs, there's a certain way that things act and react and don't react. People always tell me, you're very intelligent. You're right. That was my problem. I was very intelligent. And I came to realize that that's not important. What's important is that I realize that all power in heaven and earth is given to Jesus Christ. That's what's important. And that the first beatitude says, blessed are the poor in spirit. When I came up here, I wasn't poor in spirit. I thought I knew a lot, and I was wrong. And it's taken God all this time to make me understand who I am, what my purpose is, why God put me down here. And I can tell you this all day long, and you may or may not believe it. If a man tells you he's humble, he probably isn't. God's humbled me. I'm not the same man. Now, why do I know that what I'm about to teach you for the next several weeks, if I live, and I think I will, because I now know why God put me down here. I understand it. And it wasn't because he needed me. It was because he trained me. I never made a choice in my life. It was always God pushing me into something. And when I got into it, I just said, well, whatever he wants, I'm going to do it. Why is what I'm teaching you correct? Why do I know what's happening now? And why do I know what's going to happen in the future? Why did God do it this way? Why is this going on down there now like it is? Because it was a purely liquid time of meteorological terror. You notice I left geology out. I was trained first in meteorology. Then I was trained in geology. I didn't have any choice in this. I was forced into it. I was made to do it. And because I went there and I had children and I had to feed them, I knew that I had to make rank. And so I made rank. I didn't compromise anything. But I want you to understand that why I'm telling you now, I'm certain of, but it's going to take time for you to understand it. You say, you think you're smarter than I am? No. My grandparents only finished the 4th and 6th and 10th grade or something, 9th grade. They were far more intelligent than I will ever be, because they just sold out to the Lord. And it was apparent in their everyday life. I should have paid more attention to myself, because I got pretty conceited. Oh, I didn't come out and tell you I was conceited, but I was. Now, what has been going on down there has involved H2O, water. H2O, water. It's been a meteorological phenomenon. It's been something that has come in down there, and everything in it had to do with water, 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 water. Who controls the atmosphere? Who controls everything? The Lord. So the first thing he hit people with was this water. But he didn't even have an earthquake anywhere. The real tribulation of Revelation is to contain both geological and meteorological events far worse than that what Americans passed through on its Irma chaos, strictly water, that no longer abounded for us to suffer in. It's gone. You notice how all these commentators are trying to tell us, oh boy, look at there, it's gone. Yeah, it is. And it's going to go away even further. And then all of a sudden, there's going to be a rapture. I've got a pretty good idea when it is, but I don't think I'll ever be able to tell in just before it happens. And if you're confused about all this, believe me, I understand it. If you're trying to figure it out, I understand it. I got a problem. My mind is going. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to keep coming over here. I just know that I'm supposed to. I intend to do it as long as you let me. Now, to contain both geological and meteorological events, the worst part of this, the real tribulation period, what you're seeing is an example of what's going to be occurring all over the earth. Not just down here in southeastern U.S. Friend, when that real thing starts, it's going to be all over the world. You say, well, I don't believe that. You better believe it. That's exactly what's going to happen. You got far too many things going on now that are going on right down there. But where's the rest of it? The rest of it, God put it in there, and it's got to be true, because all power in heaven and earth is given to him. If you'll bear with me, within a few months, I'll get down to why, I'll explain why, and believe me, I'll give God all the credit. But I now understand. I've had people help me. God's had people help me, and I appreciate that very much. And I'm not haughty anymore. I'm just not. Because God's humble to me. I'm different. The tribulation period of Revelation will contain far greater worldwide chaos than that experienced in the effects of Irma in a single area of the United States. Think about it. You mean he's going to have it down here when all of it was done over in Israel? The problem with most people is they don't think. You say, well, did you ever think when you were working for Kroger? Lord, no. All I had to do was learn what to order and keep the stocks up on the shelf and learn how to check. That's all I had to do. I wasn't super intelligent. But when I got in the military and they tested me, they determined I was. And they put me in all these schools. I went in school after school after school, what they call IHLs, Institutions of Higher Learning. They paid for them. They sent me to them. And, yeah, I became smart. And So then, I just wanted to be a Kroger store manager all my life. But that wasn't God's plan for me. And so when it hit me, what he wanted me to do, I had a hard time with it. Because I had everything planned. And he just tore it up. I'm not complaining. I'm just trying to explain something to you because I know this is difficult to understand. I only understand it because I've been highly trained for it, and it was God that made sure I was. The tribulation period of Revelation will contain far greater worldwide chaos than that experienced in the effects of Irma in a single area of the United States. When this thing really starts, it's going to be Hades on wheels, and it's going to be occurring all over the earth. Because we've got substances boiling underneath this earth that I discovered for myself after I got out of school. They didn't even know about when I was in school. And the truth of the matter is, those things are all going to start going off at the same time. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, I believe it because God said it. You say, well, how did God help you? God trained me. And God showed me what he had under the earth. And God showed me the way it operated. And I learned it. You say, well, what did he do along the way? He taught me that all power in heaven and earth is given unto him. He taught me that he was the only God there was. And he taught me that all power in heaven and earth was given unto him. And he taught me that I wasn't very significant. Now, I'm going to heaven for only one reason. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I've got heaven made. You say, well, I don't believe that. I'm sorry, you're going to have to, this is something you're just going to try to understand till I get through with all this. I've told you for some 40 years that I could not tell you the day, the week, or the year Jesus would come to rapture his people. But at least I can now tell you that Jesus has not fulfilled the last 1,335 days of Daniel 9:27. He didn't fulfill 3.5 years. He fulfilled over 3 years. But you got some spare time in there. But he still got to fulfill the last 3.5 years of his tribulation, plus a little more time, not much. All the entire planet has been seeing is a warning to all mankind that the full tribulation is yet to come. That's the whole purpose of what's going on down there. You say, are you sure? I am absolutely positive. You say, well, you're not very humble now. Yes, I am. Yes, I am, because I could have never figured this all out by myself. And if God hadn't trained me, there was no way under heaven I could have ever known it. 70 weeks of Daniel's prophecy, part 2, June 21st, 2009. According to the Oxford Concise Dictionary of World Religions, the evangelical Protestant movement emerged in Britain in the 1730s. The conversion of John Wesley in 1738 is often regarded as the start of the evangelical movement. You know what's wrong with this world now? These TV preachers that think we've got 7 years left to go. These preachers that I call the evangelical preachers. And in the time known as the evangelical period, that was a time of the Great Awakening. There never should have been a Great Awakening. You say, well, what is it then? It's of the devil, if you want to know what it is. You say, well, boy, you sure are getting hard-hearted. I've tried to tone it down as much as I can, and I will continue to. But all you're seeing now is a warning. You say, how much time have we got? Well, we got more than half a tribulation period. When's Jesus coming back? It's not a far distant event, but it's coming. Because he has all power in heaven and in earth. He has and is still fulfilling the actual offices of the Holy Spirit, the Father, and of the Son. Now, Wesley was forced to preach out of doors and to eventually develop an organization of his own. You say, well, what preacher told you that? I got that out of old books all over the world. And they were books that were for religious peerages and religious colleges that still preserve those old books. And what happened? I know exactly what happened back there in the evangelical movement and the Great Awakening. You got a bunch of heretics in there that began to teach a whole bunch of stuff that just wasn't true. From 1740 to 1800, they eventually developed an organization of his own. From 1740 to 1800, the evangelicals were drawn into the movement primarily from Wesleyan Methodist, Primitive Methodist, and non-conformist Protestant bodies such as the Congregationalists. How many missionary Baptist preachers know that? You say, oh, they all know that. No, they don't. You know why they don't? Because they corrupted the truth. You can see them on television now all the time. Some of them are nice guys. I don't have anything against them sometimes. Because there was a man came up behind the disciples one time. And when he came up, they listened to him. And they asked the Lord. They said, Lord, what about this man? Should we accept him? Here's his answer. He said, he that is not against us is for us. You say, well, are some of these guys on television honestly trying to do what's right? They're sincerely trying to do what's right. But what they're teaching about 7 years of tribulation remaining and what they're teaching about mid-trib, it's wrong. It's just flat wrong. By 1800, the evangelical movement had spread to the Church of England. That's where that all came from. You say, well, why do these preachers say that we got 7 years of tribulation? They don't know any better. Do you think I just picked up their books and studied it and didn't study to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? I wouldn't do it, so God did it for me. And here I am. You say, what if you're wrong? Well, I'd rather eat a whole lot of cow or a whole lot of bunk and be wrong than to teach what they're teaching because it is not right. Evangelical movement, a different viewpoint arose in the teaching of prophecy. That's what they're all teaching today. Particularly, it's called tradition. It's like that's where it all came from. That is, it's not right. Particularly in the interpretation of Daniel 9:27. I have diligently searched for any commentary published before 1730 that indicated the three he's in Daniel 9:27 were the Antichrist and have not found a single one. I'm not saying one does not exist, but I have been looking for years and have never found one. All publications before 1730 clearly identified the three he's as Jesus Christ. Or they might have called them Antiochus Epiphanes, who was existing at that time and who thought some was the Antichrist, but he died. They identified him as Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Prince. Now, why would God allow that teaching to go on from the cross and go on through all those years? He didn't. He didn't. He did not. You say, well, I guess, wonder who did that? The devil. You say, well, you believe in demons? No. But I believe in fallen angels. And I believe that God, anyone who controls everything in heaven and in earth, He's in control of a heavenly bunch of angels that are at his disposal, among them Gabriel and Michael. It has stunned me. It has stunned me to know how much of our teaching today about the Antichrist is all tied back to the belief that the Antichrist is the one referred to in Daniel 9:27. I beg of you to take a good look at the series. I'm sorry I'm having to read this, but my mind is going. And I don't want to miss any point. And I put my proofs in here for it. Daniel 9:27, exposition I am now presenting in 10 parts. I'm doing it right now, but this was written a long time ago. Even if you think it is hogwash, please carefully read parts 1 and 10. If it is correct, it will help you to understand what is going on when the coming Antichrist does not follow the pattern correctly taught in most religious circles. If it is wrong, it will have done you no harm, but please read it. I have no ulterior motive for gain in presenting it to you. I have no ulterior motive whatsoever. I love every single one of you. I've learned to do what I do while I was here and in different institutions because that's what God wanted. Am I sure of that? I'm absolutely positive. You say, well, could you have done it if he hadn't done what he did? Yeah, absolutely not. You say, well, then it's God that did it. You've got it. That's exactly why it all happened. Now I understand. If it is wrong, it will have done you no harm, but please read it. My motive is a simple one. I'm an old man who is presenting it to you. My motive is a simple one. I'm an old man who is 7 years past his allotted 70 years. Remember when I put this out, I put this thing out, I think, in about 2009. And I am very concerned about many are going to be confused when prophetic events suddenly conclude in a manner quite different from what they expect. This is going to pass down there. All this terrible stuff's been going on, it's going to pass. You say, well, what's going to happen at the coming of the Lord? All Hades is going to break loose all over the earth. It's not going to be in a part of the United States alone. It's going to be doing the same thing you've seen down there, only much worse, all over the earth. You say, well, go right ahead and think what you want, but I'm telling you, that's exactly what's going to happen. All this stuff that's underneath the earth, that's down there, he owns, operates, and controls. He creates earthquakes when he wants to, where he wants to. He's got everything under control. Most people don't realize that. I only realize it because God trained me. I didn't train myself. This isn't what I chose for my life. I'm thankful to God. He did it by grace. He extended his grace to me. I repented toward him. I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've been learning about him ever since, and I've been learning about myself. I have a complete feeling of relief. I know that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. I know that. I'm certain of it. You see, because he trained me. That's why. You say, well, you sound like you did it. I didn't do any of it. It was all in God's hands, and I'm not guilty of teaching you anything that was wrong, from which they expect, for better or for worse. I believe the religious world took a wrong turn in prophetic teaching in 1740, and that many believe what is erroneously tied back to Antichrist, representing the three he's in Daniel 9:27. Let's look at Daniel 9:27. And he, that's Jesus Christ, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Remember, this is Daniel's 70 weeks of years. 70 weeks of years, that's quite a while. There's 70 weeks of years. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In the midst of the week, he, there's the other he, that's Jesus, He shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. He did. He caused it to cease. Why? And for the overspreading of abominations, there's your other he shall make it desolate. What do you mean? Mean no Holy Spirit there. No Holy Spirit in it. There hadn't been a Holy Spirit in it since Jesus was crucified. He just caused it to cease until the consummation. Now, listen, he put it in pure old D English, but people don't understand it because they don't want to understand it, because they're so full of heretical teaching that there's no way you can get it out except just to tell the truth. I'm telling you the truth, and I'm telling you the consummation is the consummation of this age. It's the end of this age. Look up the word confirmation for yourself. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. What's been determined? Look, seventh trumpet rapture, seven thunders. And when you talk about what's going to be poured upon the desolate, folks, that's not going to be poured on you. That's going to be poured on those people in pouring out of the vials. He says, shall be poured upon. It's poured on people, the desolate. Now, I'm telling you, pray for me. Please pray for me. I'm not sure that God intends to leave me here, but I am certain what God put me down here for. And I didn't fully realize until he worked on me, I'm nothing but a little insignificant worm, and I know it. I'm not anything except being poor in spirit, but theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You say, why are you going to heaven? Because of God. Because of God, he extended to me his grace, and I received it. You say, what did he tell you to do? He told me to repent toward him and put my faith in Jesus Christ. You're not going to understand anything about baptism correctly, anything about the rapture correctly, or anything else until you first get yourself straight with God. And I knew that. I believed that. Chuck helped me a lot on that. And once I saw that, I began to see a lot of other things. No one is like God unless God chooses them to do it. And they do have to repent toward God. They do have to put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, I don't want to go back to my old ways. I don't want any part of it. My future lies ahead. And what I want is for people to believe there's only one God. All power in heaven and earth is given unto him. And blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's why I like for Chuck to preach. Chuck preaches good, well, extremely well. And we may not agree on everything, but the truth is I have tremendous admiration. I can see God's work in his life. I couldn't see that at first. Maybe he couldn't see it in mine. But it's there, and we're here, and God has a purpose in our life. He's got a purpose in Chili's life. He's got a purpose in Ken's life. He's got a person. You wouldn't be coming here if he didn't have a purpose in your life. And you can't take credit for anything. He does it all. I fully exposited on Daniel 9:24 in our AM blog on June 20th, establishing how Daniel had learned from Jeremiah's writings that 70 weeks of years were determined upon the people of Israel and their holy city Jerusalem under Daniel's formulation for the period. Each one of Jeremiah's 7 years was equal to 7 years was equal to 70 years was equal to 7 years, and he identified each 7-year period as 1 week of years. So 7 times 70 equals 490 years, or 70 weeks of prophecy. Now that's the one thing that God wouldn't let them change. He didn't change it. He would not let them change it. You say, he would not let them change that. In Daniel 9:25, he gives us a starting point for his prophetic clock to begin ticking toward a countdown of 490 years, or 70 weeks of years. Daniel 9:25. Know therefore that from the going forth of the commencement to restore and build Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 70 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, even in troublous times. The 490-year time clock would start ticking when the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem was issued. However, there were four different proclamations issued by three Persian kings. Now, why did they let this stuff that they teach in some of our schools that belong to us? Listen, we're going to be tested. And the truth of the matter is, do you believe that Jesus has all power and kingdom in heaven and in earth? I do. You say, you're just saying it. Oh, no. That's my life. He says, here were the three, here were the four. You see, I have spent hours, months, years. That's why I have different lenses, my glasses. And I studied all this out. They don't teach this in the Missionary Baptist seminaries. And they should. The decree of Cyrus in 536 B.C., the decree of Darius Hystaspes in 519 B.C., the first decree of Artaxerxes Longimanus in 457 B.C., the second decree of Artaxerxes Longimanus in 445 B.C. Now, you would be amazed at how much time I spent when I went overseas in foreign libraries that had these old books that weren't written by heretics and told you the truth. We had some in this country that were just like them. The scripture indicated from the time the commandment, the decree, was issued until the Messiah, the Prince, arrived would be 69 weeks of years for 483 years. 7 weeks plus 62 weeks equals 69 weeks of years. 7 times 69 is equal to 483 years. You know what they're teaching our schools? First of the week. It's wrong. Amen. They teach that middle of the week. It's wrong. You say, well, what's right? The seventh trumpet. You say, well, is that easy to understand? No, it isn't. I've spent my life trying to figure this thing out, or at least a large part of it. Quite frankly, I enjoyed what I was doing. I enjoyed it very much. But man, I'm ashamed now. I know. I tell God, I said, I know you've forgiven me. But I thank you, Lord. Because if you hadn't shown me this, I would never have understood it. If you hadn't trained me, I would never have understood it. Now, some problems arise in the establishment of historical dates that begin at from and end at until. So we're going to take a look at these decrees. Because these happen, they're in the Bible, and these words are in the Bible, from until. Are these prophetic years or calendar years? How are they affected by corrections in the Gentile calendars by Rome? And how are they affected by the lunar calendar used by the Hebrews? And how are they affected by the lunar calendar used by the Hebrews? All these things make it difficult to decide which one of the four decrees applies to Daniel 9:25. Was Daniel indicating solar years of 365.25 days? That's what we use on our calendar. Are prophetic years of 360 days. Most likely he meant years of 360 days because that's what they used. You say, well, he shouldn't have done that. He should have put them in our years. There's people that believe that. Aren't you supposed to study to show yourself approved unto God? Aren't you supposed to test what everybody teaches you and tells you? You say, I ain't got time for that. You're going to wish you'd taken time when this is all over. Most likely, he meant years of 360 days. I'm certain of it. But that's the only way that it figures out too perfectly to be any other way. Which one of the 4 degrees was the one that Daniel indicated in his prophecy? The degree of Cyrus in 536 BC was limited to the building of the temple. The degree of Darius Hypophysi also was limited to the building of the temple. The first degree of Artaxerxes Longimanus in 457 BC demonstrated a wider range of granting authority to carry out a larger degree of granting authority to carry out all that needed to be done, much more than the 2 decrees before it. His second decree in 445 BC is also very specific in its instruction and authority to rebuild Jerusalem. Do you know our churches have missionary Baptist preachers that don't even know this, that don't care about this? You say, look, you mean you have to go to a seminary to get all this? Absolutely not. They just don't study. This is all available if you want to. If you'll just believe the Bible, you won't have to go through all this. So consider this a favor from God, and consider my hindsight as sitting down the whole time to put it together for that reason, and consider what I've gone through and the criticism I've received, and I will receive even more after this thing goes out, is also very specific in its instruction and authority to rebuild Jerusalem. So we are able, because of the lack of reference, to rebuild Jerusalem, to restore and to build Jerusalem. In the first 2 decrees, to say it must be one of the 2 issued by Artaxerxes Longimanus in 457 BC and 445 BC of Daniel's prophecy is based on our present calendar, which I doubt. Then from the time of Artaxerxes' first decree was issued in 457 BC until the baptism of Jesus, the Messiah, in 27 AD would be 483 years or 69 weeks. This was the viewpoint held by the great Baptist expositor B.H. Carroll, and he was a sound missionary Baptist in the late 1700s and early 1900s. But Dr. Carroll takes this statement in his writings on Daniel 9:25 when dealing with prophetic years of 360 days. Hinzenburg, on the other hand, while agreeing with the second degree of 445 BC, converts the theory of a year of 360 days and contests the date usually accepted, 445 BC. You see, people have been fighting against this, and people have been studying it. People that are far more intelligent than I could ever hope to be. And it's not intelligence in this that matters. It's whether God pushed you to do it or whether you just voluntarily surrendered. But I got one goal in life. I want to be a bondservant to God forever. You say, well, you don't deserve that. Oh, how well I know that now. That he seeks that the 20th year of Artaxerxes Longimanus falls on the date 445 BC, and then by adding 483 years, Hindenburg puts Christ's acknowledgement by the Father at his baptism as the true coming of Messiah the Prince. Sir Robert Anderson has 2 books on Daniel, the coming prince, and Daniel in the Critic's Den. He uses the usually accepted date of 445 BC and articulates a strong time sequence to prove his conclusion. These men wanted to know about the rapture. They didn't call it the rapture. That's something there wasn't even anything called a rapture back before 1730. And the truth of the matter is, there is a devil. There aren't demons, but there are fallen angels. And you better believe Satan is very active. And you better believe that he doesn't want this distributed. And I've listened to Chuck preach many times. And that's why some people just don't like Chuck. They don't like what he teaches. They don't like what he preaches. I like Chuck because of what he teaches and what he preaches. I trust Chuck with my life because I've learned a lot about myself and I've learned a lot about people. And I've learned a lot more about God than I ever knew was possible. I never dreamed he was as wonderful as he is. Okay. Now, please allow me to state my conclusion. I was taught certain things, Daniel 9:24-27, by many old preachers who are now at home with the Lord. Many of them were born in the 19th century and lived into the 30s, 40s, and 50s of the 20th. I am a sixth-generation missionary Baptist, and this stuff was fed into me when I was young. And the truth of the matter is, I didn't know this well. They just told me some of this stuff. And when I got old enough, I thought, I want to know the truth. And I found the truth. In northern Arkansas, where I was raised, these old fellows read after the great leading Baptist theologians of their day and from books they had procured from old bookstores or the libraries of older preachers when they died. That's one reason your dad probably said when he came here, Chuck, he said, I ain't heard preaching like that in years. And it's because I was taught these things when I was young, but all of a sudden, people just took over the prophecy and they started teaching things that aren't right. Some of the books were written in the late 1800s and early 19th century, but they finally just wore out and fell apart from constant use. They didn't have opportunity to attend a seminary, but they were diligent in reading the works of the Baptists who did. These are the men, and God didn't cause all this to happen by accident, and God worked it out the way only God can, and there's only one best way, whatever God said. These are the men who first taught me prophecy many years ago before I graduated from seminaries, colleges, and universities. In the weeks to come, God willing, I am going to pass on to you what they taught me, and you may be surprised. Now, in honesty, before God and man, I believe it was 483 years from the decree unto the baptism of Jesus when he began his earthly ministry. I accept it by faith in God's word. The problem is not with the word of God, it is with the human setting of the time of the proper decree. He wrote the decrees back then so we could look back on them and study. It would have been to reverse to write the truth now, and those poor people didn't even know he existed. There's a reason for everything God does, and the older I get, the more I am totally dependent on him. My main reason for writing such a lengthy discourse, and I'm almost finished. To absolutely fix the precise date the proclamation was issued to which Daniel referred, but I am delighted to tell you that what is really important can be proven by a single word, the word after in Daniel 9:26. I'm going to get down to this, but when I'm finished, it may take several weeks. I want Chuck to preach on Sunday, then I'll preach the next, and then I'll preach on Wednesdays. And know therefore, Daniel 9:25-26, know there and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem under the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, threescore and 2 weeks. Is understood in the Hebrew literary style to also, he added to the 62, verse 26, so as to avoid redundancy. The Holy Spirit is not redundant. Redundancy in a flowing chronological sequence of events. In explanation, after 69 weeks, otherwise, Messiah would have been cut off before he was born. The Hebrew word used for after is akar, which means in context, afterward. The same word akar is used in the following scriptures. They're used in these scriptures. Jeremiah 31:33, but after this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel, after those days, afterwards, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's who lives in my heart right now. Joel 2:28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and the young men shall see visions. That prophecy was filled way back there. Hosea 3:5. Afterwards shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God, and Daniel the king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. Hosea 6:2. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. The majority of prophetic expositors today claim that Messiah was cut off, crucified, to end the 69th week. Here's the problem. This is the heresy. Bring the hands of Daniel's clock to a standstill, and we have a full week of 7 years waiting to be fulfilled when it begins to tick again. But that cannot be true. Since Christ was crucified after the 69th week, during the 70th week, leaving less than 7 years to be fulfilled. Now I'm going to get around to the a time when I can know that the rapture is going to occur within a time frame, and I still can't tell you the day, week, month, or year, and I doubt if I'll be able to until the day before it happens. The significance of the placement of after Daniel 9:26a cannot be overemphasized. Why? Because it definitely states that Messiah would not be cut off to end the 69th week, but will be crucified after it at some time in the 70th week. The clock of Daniel stopped ticking at some time in the final 70th week. So when was Jesus cut off by the crucifixion in the 70th week? The answer is one of the utmost importance. I know we have less than 7 years. I know that we have less than, but how much less do we have? It has to be less than 2,520 days. But more than 1,260 days. We will proceed into verses 26 and 27 in a future update to bring the answers to these questions, Lord willing. So that's what I believe is going to happen. And it'll become clear, I promise you. I've struggled with this for years, had a lot of help. You say, who helped you? God. You say, how did he do it? He did it through other people. He never spoke directly to me, never had. How much faith would that require? If God spoke directly to me and said, Tom, here's what I want you to do. Lord, forgive me, I don't mean to be sacrilegious. But what would I, you know, what would I do? Well, what if I didn't do it? Well, Lord, in mercy, I don't even want to think about that. So God puts it on you. Let me give you some advice. Do you have a goal in life? Yeah, I've had several along the way. Have there been changes in it? Yeah, there have been a lot of changes in it. Where do you stand right now? I want to be a bondservant, a slave in heaven. I want to be a bondservant here on earth until the Lord takes me home. And let me tell you something. We got a lot of trouble ahead of us. A lot more than people realize. You say, well, I don't think I'm going to be here during any of that tribulation period. We'll see. But I think all this, what you're watching right now on television, is a bunch of people trying to say, boy, wasn't that bad. It's going to be hard to get them to believe the Lord's coming. Much harder than it was before. Because now, next time something like this happens, they'll say, oh, we got through it before. We did it before and we can do it again. You say, how do you know that? I understand people. I understand myself. You say, do you understand God? No, but I'm sure working on it, because the better I get to know him, I want to be. Abraham became his friend. You say, I don't think you'll ever make it. I don't either, but I sure aim to try. Robert, would you dismiss it?